Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to Unraveling. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and I am so honored to share this space with you today. Unraveling is a sacred space for you to come to when you feel the need to be nurtured, to be inspired, and witnessed in all the beautiful messiness of life. This is a place for honest conversations, real life emotions, and truth telling. The episodes are intended to be soothing and gentle, yet powerful and impactful, weaving the beautiful art of storytelling together with life lessons, practical tools, and a little bit of magic too. The journey of unraveling has many, many layers, and each of us are on our own unique path. My hope is that the words shared today will offer a spark of curiosity and a moment of resonance, as well as supporting you in your own beautiful explorations. Thank you for sharing this time with me. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome to this episode of Unraveling. Today I am joined by the beautiful Stella Stathy, who is a qualified, experienced Jungian somatic psychotherapist and coach, an embodied alchemy teacher and body priestess. Stella has specialized in the treatment of eating disorders and body image issues, and for nearly a decade, she has been supporting women healing their relationship with food and their bodies from the inside out through embodied alchemical soul work. She is passionate about bridging the worlds of psychology and spirituality, the personal and the transpersonal, through the body, and is dedicated to a path of wholeness and grounded magic. I am so excited to bring you this conversation. It is stemmed in soulful, beautiful wisdom, and it is an honor to share space with Stella today. Welcome, Stella. I am so honored to share the space with you today. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really well, really well. Enjoying a very bright, sunny day here in Glastonbury. So really happy about that.
Yeah, the sun definitely helps. We also have bright blue sky, and I am definitely making the most of it. So yes, it's a blessing when that happens.
And winter especially.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I'm so, so happy that you are joining me for the first episode back of Unraveling. It's been we've had a little break, but yeah, I feel really called to start having these conversations again, and it feels beautiful to begin with you. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I am going to start by pulling out a card to see what's coming up today. Who knows what the universe is bringing us. I've got a card from the Animal Wisdom deck, which is my newest addition. And we'll see. So we have this card I've already pulled several times since I got this deck, and it's the honeybee. The honeybee, and it's divine feminine. You are being called on to rise.
Wow.
How does that land?
It's quite touching, actually, because I mean, you know a bit more about that, but I've been in that space where I'm redefining and redesigning and kind of looking into being in transition into a new phase. And honey has been coming up a lot lately. The feeling, the color, the sense of it, and the connection with the divine feminine speaks to me a lot. So
It feels like a beautiful card to start with. And I'll be interesting to see where it takes us on our conversation.
Yep.
So I'd love to start just by hearing from you a little bit about your journey. Just what has kind of brought you to be the person that you are today, right now, in this moment?
Where to start? I'll organize a little bit, I think, my journey into cycles, because that helps me kind of look at the themes. So my journey, at least the part that relates more to where I'm at right now, started with a very tricky, challenging relationship with food and my body as I grew up, which eventually around 17, it turned into an eating disorder, which lasted for nearly 7 years, maybe a little bit more. So that feels to me like the first phase of that journey, that I was deep into that space, like really struggling in that area. But at the same time, I was very deeply into spirituality and yoga and practicing all the things and dance, practicing very intensively. And so it's interesting that I had this very complicated relationship with the body. I was at war with it on the one hand, but also really exploring what it is about and what it has to give me in many ways. And then that eventually, after, you know, it reached a place where it became quite hard, and I hit that point, that turning point that we speak about, and it kind of opened up a new cycle that was the start of my healing journey, we can say, that I transitioned into more of the world, like going deeper into psychology and therapy. I trained as a therapist. I trained as an eating disorders therapist. And so that went hand in hand. Firstly, my own experience of applying all of those things to myself, having therapy myself, still connected with the body, but in a very different way that was much more about coming down into the body rather than escaping the body to go somewhere else. And that's been the cycle. So I've been a therapist for 9 years now, and that's been really rich and very deep and also intense in different ways, and amazing in general. But it's interesting that now I feel like, not that I'm gonna stop being a therapist, but I do feel strongly this cycle in some way coming to completion and a new space opening up, which I'm not exactly sure what it's gonna be about. I have some ideas, but it feels really exciting. And one thing that feels really important is bringing everything that I've learned over the last 9 years, and even before that, because I think, you know, even in the depths of struggling and being in a very difficult place, but there were still so many things that happened during those years that I carry with me. So it feels like now is the time to bring them somehow together, and also bring together everything that's been birthed, I guess, already through those cycles into more of a whole. Yeah.
Oh, wow. What a journey.
Yes.
Yeah. I love how you included the first cycle within this coming cycle, because I think it's so often we dismiss the struggle as part of our teachings or as part of how we can hold space for others. But I think actually it's where the like meatiest parts are. Being in those struggles, like how have you found that those darker times have actually brought you to a lighter time in some ways?
The first thing that's popping up is just in terms of work. Like being able to do that work, I think if I hadn't been myself if I hadn't experienced those darker times, like in myself, in my body, it would have been much harder to connect and to relate with other people in those places, and to also hold these spaces for other people. It's like this phrase that's quite popular, that you cannot take somebody where you haven't gone first. So I do very much cherish, maybe it's not the right word, or maybe it is, but I do hold those dark places as something really valuable. Because it also, on the other, what I was thinking when you said that is how, especially in the online world and the coaching world, how we are very quick to move into the light phase, to kind of, you know, the struggle to light or whatever story, that we just touch very briefly on what has gone before, and in a very non-appreciative way, I'd maybe say, you know, it's just, we focus so much on coming out of that and being somewhere different and somewhere better and having left that behind, and the expansion of it. And often it feels like such a harsh cut. And there is something really human, I feel, in those, in that initial cycle. Like, not that it stayed there. It's continued in many ways, different struggles throughout the years. But there is something about humanity, about connecting with those places that are not bright, that are not successful, that are not all about healing and growing and all of those things. Like, it's about the very, very human ground, deep, dark experience that's just part of a whole. And I think another thing that I'm really called to is this, a different perspective around wholeness, like really holding the two together and not focusing so exclusively on the light, or having this idea or this illusion that you come out of something and you step into paradise land and there's nothing that you're going to have to face ever again.
Yeah. Oh, I love all that you said. It's like we focus so much on being healed rather than the journey that it takes. And actually, in my experience, certainly, the healing, the actual process of healing, not being fixed or healed or whatever word, you know, you have in your head that I'm going to get to this place and everything's going to magically be okay. The magic does happen in the mud sometimes, and it can be really hard to see it when you're in the mud. But as you start to claw your way out of it, the process is actually, like, it can be so beautiful and can bring you into, as you say, like more of a, almost like a relationship with the two, rather than, and this idea of being whole, being all of us, the both the shadowy dark sides that we are scared of and don't want to go to, but also the lighter, more positive, and then all the different in between.
Yes.
It's very much often, it's like you're either light or dark. It's like you're in one or the other. And actually, I think probably for the most part, we're probably much more in the middle most of the time, or anywhere along that spectrum. Very rarely are we like pure light.
I love the word relationship that you used. I really love it, this idea that we can have a relationship with both sides, being and existing in both sides and dancing in both places, but also somehow being able to hold them as well, like not being just one or the other, not identifying exclusively with one or the other, being able to be dance in between and have like arms around them.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That has been one of you know, my massive learning curves, learning journeys is definitely to be in relationship with all parts of me. Not just the bits that are the pretty, like, sparkly sides. And actually, you know, if I was only in relationship with that part of me, I'd miss so much. Yes. I'd miss so much of the depth of being a human.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I've recently been thinking also about the other side of it, kind of coming out of this second cycle where it's been a lot of depth and a lot of the therapeutic element. But how important it is to, when we work in the depths and when we work with wounds and trauma and the deep challenging experiences of our lives, how important it is to also remember to bring some light and some joy in there, that we're not, like, that's not meant to be completely outside of that space either. Like, we are meant to cultivate joy and light, however we describe that, within those spaces, because then it also becomes one-sided.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it works. It absolutely works both ways, doesn't it? Needing to see the full spectrum. And just, I think one of the things I've certainly learned on my journey is that I was really numb. I was completely, like, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel the excitement. I didn't feel joy. And I felt broken because of that. But what I realized is that I was so terrified of feeling those less shiny emotions of fear and of grief and of anger and many of the emotions that I'd sort of believed I wasn't supposed to feel. I was missing, like, they were my gateways. They were actually, when I started to nurture and come into relationship with those parts of me and just witness them, I didn't have to love them. I didn't have to want, like, be really happy that they were part of me, but to witness them and learn from them, that then rooted me to being able to feel more joy and more excitement and open my heart back up, basically.
I can totally feel that, and it brings to mind kind of a model from Gestalt therapy. I won't go deep into it, but it kind of describes the layers of human experience, and at the core there is a life layer that holds all of those experiences and emotions that we like feeling, like joy, love, gratitude, but it also includes grief and rage. And even though we don't like often feeling them, but they are still very much lively. They flow. They, like, we feel them. They're not stuck. They're not stagnant. And around that layer, there is the death layer that holds all of those emotions again, and our past hurts and wounds and everything that's been stored in our bodies. But also all of those experiences that haven't been supported, haven't been related to. And that's the trick, because we're like, but I don't want to feel that. I don't want to go through that. I don't. But if we don't go through that, this is exactly like you said, this becomes the gateway into life. And I find that can often be supportive when it comes to actually approaching those feelings, letting them in, because this is our way back into joy, back into feeling, and back into flowing and life.
Yeah. Wow. I love that idea of this sort of spiral and going through the layers, and it makes sense. It does make sense from having experienced it, but then I'm not sure I would understand it as much had I not allowed myself to go through it, because it can feel terrifying, the prospect of letting these, what are effectively almost like bodily sensations, letting them actually fully express themselves. It can be really terrifying. So I suppose that's why having someone to support and hold space for that and to guide you and to just let you know that you're safe and supported in that space is so important.
So important.
Oh, wow. We've already unraveled a lot. I'd love to know a little bit more about what your heart is calling you to at the moment. What's sparking your curiosity, whether it's work, whether it's life? What is it that you're really called to explore at the moment?
I'd say both in life and work, something that's really calling to me is art and creativity. And I think something that, again, I feel it comes up as a response to the last cycle that's been, you know, clearly the therapist cycle. And that's not to say that there's not a lot of creativity inside therapy. There is a lot of it. But there is something about, I'm really feeling called to explore creating for the sake of creating without it having a specific purpose or a very deep meaning or just art. And often it does, when it starts just like that, it just comes up naturally. But I'm really being reminded, I'm remembering the part of me, my Pisces rising, actually knocking on the door, and once more poetry, and once more art, and once more dance, and once more nature, and also once more community. Not that I haven't had that. I've been blessed to have to be part of beautiful communities over the last few years. But I think I'm also being called to creating community spaces right now.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. Oh, I've been feeling that so deeply in myself as well. And I kind of even wrote the other day in my journal, and one of my big dreams, when I see I by saying this, I'm putting it out there, I guess. So one of my, things I always see myself in when I look into the future, do any kind of meditations where it's where would you love to see yourself? And I always see myself as an artist. And the thing is, right now, I do have a lot of creative outlets, but I don't paint. I don't do any of these things. And it feels like such a way forward. But I can't shake it off. And it's also what I resist the most, because I have paints. I have these things. I could do it, but I don't. That resistance is still there. I find that quite interesting, how it's still it's just this part of me just won't allow me to move forward into that next, to even take the first step.
I so hear you. I feel the same, and even kind of using the word art or artist, I have used in the past, writing or being a writer. I can more easily identify with that. Or dance, being a dancer. But artist, I think it has such specific associations in my mind. And I've always been drawn toward, and I've always been drawn to artists. Many of my friends and my partners and have been artists. But claiming that for myself feels very edgy. It feels very edgy. And that's why I feel it's super important right now. And it does involve this redefinition, I guess, of the word. Redefining what an artist is and what their work is and how they share it with the world. There's something for me about the energy that you bring in and the place that you come from and the creativity that you can channel and the play that can come into play and the connection that you build with yourself and your soul in that moment and just giving that space to come through and do whatever it wants to do without expecting it to look a certain way or to have a certain outcome. Just letting it play. That is not easy practically.
I was about to say, and how do we do that? Can you give us a magic solution?
Sure. I was writing recently and just writing a post for Instagram about a different thing. I was saying, I don't have a magic wand and I don't have a magic solution. I don't. The only thing I can say for me is that it's reached a point that where it's becoming more of a necessity rather than a luxury.
Mm.
So, you know, it's becoming much harder to ignore and the pull is much stronger. And sometimes, you know, in a bit of more of a spiritual way, things happening around you and in your life that are really nudging, sometimes kicking you to really sit down and do it. That's what I'm experiencing right now. And I don't know much more because it's still in that void.
How do you find, you know, when you get these intuitive little whispers and these nudges and they get louder and louder and louder, how have you found a ways of trusting and building relationship with those? Because I know how, you know, I know that I receive these messages and these little nudges, and I know so many people do, but it's so much easier to ignore them because I think there's a sense of mistrust. And I don't think it's mistrust in the thing we're being called to. I think it still comes back to a trusting ourselves. Mm-hmm. How have you cultivated that relationship?
A few things pop to mind. The first thing that was popping up was, I think partly in many ways, I've trusted them in my life quite a lot. And I don't know why, but it's just been this way. So I would really have very strong feelings about things. And I wouldn't doubt them that much. And I would go with them. Now, some of them, then as I was sitting with that, I was like, well, that is half of the truth. There is the other half. That is more about what I've learned by not trusting them and going down a different path and closing my eyes and my ears to them and then having to sit with the consequences of that. So those two ways, and of course, like it's involved a lot of consequences. And like you said before, at some point, if I hadn't gone down the quote, I don't want to call it the wrong path, but just not listening to what I already knew, because my mind got in the way and said, yes, but this and that, or yes, but, you know, that is also true. It's not that bad. You know, we can still do it. And then I find myself in a difficult place that I could have potentially avoided had I listened. So it's those two kind of dancing together. And the other thing that was coming up, kind of in the middle, you know, bridging the two, is just becoming better over the years at recognizing what is an intuitive feeling, what is a gut feeling, what is a body intuition, and what is patterns that I have getting in the way, wanting to avoid certain things that I find difficult, things like that, that very often can kind of disguise themselves into an intuitive feeling. So learning a little bit more, like no master in that for sure, but just learning a little bit more, I guess that was more about learning myself, getting to know myself a little bit more and my patterns a bit more. And working with the body, I think for me, like trying it on in my body and through my body has been really helpful. Because honestly, like, you know, it's a very cliche phrase, but the body doesn't lie. You know, if you go there and if you try the energy of something on and move with it and see how it feels and where it takes you and what it brings up, then I think it becomes much clearer, the distinction between what is what.
Yeah. What came up for me when you were saying that is, if someone is so mistrusting of their body because they have such a complicated relationship with it, and this might be opening a whole can of worms. but I think what I'm learning through working with others and through myself is that it can be really hard to differentiate between that the kind of fake intuition and the real intuition when you have a very complex relationship with your body, whether that's to do with appearance or whether that's to do with experiences that you've had or experiences that you haven't had. I know that it's a big, deep subject, but are there some things that people can do to help support themselves when they're feeling so mistrusting of their body, but they have to make decisions? Because I'm getting, I feel like there's a lot of people at the moment that are in a real, almost, I think probably because of this, what's going on generally, the anxiety levels are higher. And I think there's almost another layer of protection. And decision anxiety seems to be huge at the moment. And I think it's putting people into like a lot of turmoil. So is there ways that people can support themselves that you found helpful in when they're in that place, or even maybe it's just making steps towards cultivating a healthier, more, I guess a more compassionate relationship with themselves and their body. Big one, sorry.
That's okay. It's interesting that you said that, because it brings up something that I've been sitting with a lot these days. That's part of the transition. So far, obviously, having worked with people one-to-one, like you said before, getting support, going through that, through something that feels really difficult, impossible, like very scary, being in the body, how do I do that? And when I've been disconnected for years or decades, that becomes an even bigger fear. So having somebody to help you through that, to just first establish a connection or a reconnection. And it can be a million times easier in the presence of somebody else that you can first trust, obviously, who can hold that space. And then you can have this experience for yourself. And then slowly over time, you can kind of become more trusting of yourself and your own body and internalize that and take it away. into your relationship outside of there. But what was coming up really strongly is that I've been thinking a lot about the different layers, and the spiral comes in again, the different layers of our relationship with our bodies. And so far I've been working with all of the layers together again, because it's been, you know, one-to-one container, you just flow with it. But as I've been preparing to kind of bring that out and share it more with other people, the layers made a lot of sense to me. And so if we have the spiral in our minds and we start from the outer layer of the spiral, which feels more like the periphery, but also what is really present as the first layer that I hit on when I try to connect, that has a lot to do for me with our experience with our bodies in terms of body image, in terms of connection, appearance. Do I know how to listen? Like, is that completely alien to me? Do I struggle a lot in my day-to-day life, so I have to disconnect, having to do with body image or traumatic experiences or whatever that is? So that is more of the external layer for me. That's the psychology domain. You know, it can be somatic, it can be energy, it can be all of those things. But it's just dealing with what you're already carrying, what manifests in your day to day. And then I find that, you know, we do need to have experienced that for a while, like have reached some sort of arrival, I guess, inside the body without making it sound ideal. And then when those things have settled a little bit more, and when I found ways to deal with them, I found ways back into connection, then there are the deeper layers that have to do with energy, the energetics. I work a lot with the energy centers, with movement. Then that space where I explore in a deeper way what my body has to say beyond those difficulties that I face, you know, on a day-to-day basis after they have been kind of addressed a little bit. And then there is the deeper layer that has to do a lot with soul. For me, that's really about how the body becomes the gateway into the spiritual. But how do we invite the soul down into the body? How do we embody the soul? How do we embody different archetypes and activate different sides of ourselves? And it kind of goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And they're never, you know, they're never clearly distinct. But that's how I have it in my mind. It kind of makes it a bit clearer. So that's one of the things that comes up, that there needs to be some kind of support around that outer layer so that we can just come back a little. And that can be the first step. And that is also thinking of it through the lens of energy centers. We're talking about root center, like ground, roots, physical body, like connecting with that in whatever way. And a lot of the nervous system work that is out there right now, or deep relaxation, working with stress, all of those things that just at least settle our nervous system down a little bit so that we can come back into our bodies, even without having to necessarily go in and look for things and do the deep work of that, but just being able to arrive a little bit more and breathe a little deeper. And if I were to share just a practice that I love and I share with my clients a lot, is just touching the body, holding your own hand, or giving a squeeze to the body, like bringing touch to all the parts of the body every day. That can be tricky when we struggle with body image, and it can be, you know, a very slow, gentle process. You know, we can use blankets or other things if we don't want to touch directly, but just anything that brings, that makes the body more alive and it receives something, because we avoid touching our body so much, especially certain areas. And it's as if they're not even there, and they're really longing to come back. They're really longing to be touched and be presenced.
Oh, wow. That's incredible insight. I love the spiral. I love that explanation. And I love the simplicity of the touch, although I know it's not necessarily easily, but it is a simple thing that we have access to. And more and more I'm finding like that's the practice. That's the ritual. That's the sacred moments. It's not about having this perfect hour to ourselves to create a huge big ritual. It's all these micro moments that are like we can access at any time, because life isn't all yoga mats and essential oils in a room with silence, and it, you know, and very rarely is it, especially now. So finding those little soothing moments is just, yeah, I feel like that's such a gift to share that. So I'm really grateful for you sharing that that beautiful spiral image. And it feels, yeah, it feels like there's almost a route to the soul through that, which I think sometimes it can feel very far away. Like it feels like we're never going to find that piece of us, but it's like, it's a reminder that it's there all the time. It's not something we have to go out and find. It's unraveling. It's taking the layers off. Always talk to my clients about the onion layers. We joke about them because it's like, oh, there's another layer of the onion coming off. And that is, you know, the core is there all the time. But it's just that all these things get piled on top of it. And I guess that's what is such a gift that you are sharing that.
Thank you so much. I really love the root to the soul.
Yes.
Holding on to that.
Oh, it's all about the roots and the nervous system support. I've realized over the last probably couple of years, really, in going deeper into that, I've realized how for so long I was doing all the surface stuff, the easy things, really, the practical things, but I wasn't addressing the foundations, the roots, totally. I thought I was, but actually I wasn't coming from a grounded place. So every time I would shift into a bit of transformation or something, would it start to expand, my nervous system was like, no, come back. It would like pull me back down into the like safety of my little cave, because it was actually not ready, because I hadn't soothed it and nurtured it. And yeah, I feel like the root of everything needs to be that nervous system support, really.
I love that. I love how you described it. And I think it brings to my mind, like, that's a whole different topic, but it just brings to my mind how easy it is for all of us, especially I see that in myself, first of all, and also in the spiritual community, like reaching for the things, because there's also an overabundance of things and approaches and transformational everything, which is really beautiful. Like, they can be amazing in themselves. But there is something about, where am I coming from when I go there? Like, if I come from a dysregulated nervous system, if I haven't turned inwards to see what is already there and all of the, you know, I often call it like the human part and the human history and the personal stuff that I have, like first soothing and nurturing that and then reaching out and bringing in more and then coming back to take that in. Because I think another piece is just integration. Very often we go out and experience, have amazing experiences, really powerful, really transformational, but then they never get integrated, they never get digested. They stay there, and then very often we want to reach for more, because then we come down, where there's this little crash, and then we're like, but I want more. That doesn't feel nice. So it's like, can we come back also. And those things can happen at the same time in parallel. It's not that we have to spend 10 years inside a cave just doing this work before we reach out for more, but just not forgetting that the starting point of the body.
I feel like I could talk to you about this for a long time. This is just the start. I love it. That's sort of bringing us towards, I feel like that's a lovely way to complete this cycle anyway.
Yes.
maybe there'll be other cycles. I know you shared that one practice about touch, but is there anything that's specifically for you that you're finding really soothing, your heart medicine at the moment? Is there anything that you would could share? It might be words, it might be a practice, anything that people could perhaps take as a little gift from our conversation.
What I find really soothing these days is just giving myself a few minutes every day to come down to the ground. Usually I start in child's pose, stay there for however long I want, and then see if there's movement that wants to come through and just follow that for a little while without, you know, wanting to make it look a certain way, wanting to do yoga poses, like just following whatever comes through. And sometimes it will turn into a full kind of movement exploration. Other times it will just be child's pose, and that can be enough. And I also find cacao very soothing these days. I really do. I used to be, and I still am, like, I love coffee. I really love coffee. I love the taste of it. I love, you know, the feeling of it and everything. But it can, kind of nervous system wise, it can kind of get me into a very hyper place. So cacao feels so soothing and supportive at the same time. So I really love that. And to add, your yoga nidras.
Oh.
Very, very soothing to me, honestly.
Thank you. Thank you so much for saying that. And I am so with you with cacao. Oh, it's heart medicine. Yeah, it's incredible. Oh, thank you. And I love that sense of just starting on the ground. I think so many times we start like a movement practice from up high or from a pose or something, but actually just coming as low to the ground as we can and then working from the ground up and allowing the movement if it's there. I kind of do that in a way, but I've never actually thought of it in the way you described it. And actually, it just sounds so beautiful. I think that will be very nurturing for many people, knowing you don't have to do a full vinyasa practice to have connected with your body and your energy.
Not at all.
I have loved this conversation so much. I would really love for you to just share if there's anywhere that people can find out more or connect with you to reach out and, I don't know, just to continue a conversation perhaps.
Sure, yes, I'd love that. So my website is, for the time being, www.bodyprema.com. And I'm also most active on Instagram, and my handle there is priestessing the body, priestessing the verb, ing, priestessing the body. And so I'm going to be transitioning there website wise as well, but for now I'm there. I'd be really happy to connect with whoever wants to come drop by my spaces. And yeah, there's a lot coming up, so that's all gonna be there.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'll put all your details in the show notes as well, so people can get the links directly. But for now, until next time, I am so grateful for your time and for you sharing from the heart so beautifully.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Unraveling. If this has sparked your interest and you want to dive in deeper, head over to laurenbarber.co to access more resources, including blogs, meditations, and previous shows. You can also discover more about sharing sacred space with me in my group, memberships, and one-to-one offerings. I would be so grateful if you can share this episode with anyone who might need to hear the words too. And if you have a moment, it would mean the world to me if you can subscribe and leave a review on your podcasting platform. If you feel called to connect with me on a more regular basis, then please do join me over on my Instagram account at laurenbarber.co. Until next time, I wish you love and gentleness on this beautiful but sometimes chaotic journey of unraveling.